flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
And away we go, ladies and gentlemen. Hour number two of the Rob Brown Show starts right now, right here on the Fan Up State. How do you do, Upstate South Carolina? Hello, America. What up, world? Great to have you back. As we roll on through the four most electrifying hours in sports, talk, entertainment, you'll find anywhere this early in the morning. I am Rob Brown. The great Milanzo on the other side of the metaphorical glass, if you want to be a part of the show. This is an excellent time to do it at 844-326-3663, 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E is the number to call in. It is also the number to text in to the radio broadcast. Shoot us a text at 844-326-3663. Just create a contact in your telephone right now. Call it the Fan Upstate and add the number 844-326-3663. That way you can call or text the show on demand. I may or may not have made this clear over the almost 5 years I've been here, but the Armada is not only welcomed to, you are encouraged to participate in the radio program any time that you would like to. We've got a lot more we need to get to. We're talking a lot of NFL on the radio broadcast today, as obviously our NFC and AFC championship games are now in the rearview mirror. We have just one more competitive football game left before football season departs us for 2024-2025, and we move on into the off season. Of course, we do have the NFL Pro Bowl coming up this weekend. Here's my question. Zoe, are we going to spend another year listening to people complain about how it's not fun, about how it's not enjoyable, about how it's bad, and we should go back to the old Pro Bowl format, and these guys should be asked to play an actual NFL game? Or do you think this might be the year that people finally decide maybe it's okay to just enjoy fun things sometimes?
So you're asking if people will complain. Absolutely, yes. They're going to complain.
We have on Thursday night the skills competition. We will see the Pro Bowl quarterbacks and wide receivers and running backs and offensive linemen and defensive linemen compete in a variety of different field day events for our perusement, enjoyment, and entertainment. And then, of course, on Saturday, we have the Pro Bowl flag football game, which I'm going to tell you, I'm kind of a fan of. It's kind of fun to watch freak athletes go out there and, like, be allowed to enjoy the game instead of, you know, have to take every aspect of it seriously. It's fun to watch them goof off. And if you haven't watched it, the boys get competitive.
Yeah,
they want to win.
I've always enjoyed the quarterback challenge. I really like that. I like the lineman thing, too. I think that's really cool.
The relay race they run where everybody gets involved at the end, it's a blast, dude. It's a lot of fun. Like, it's enjoyable. And granted, it is ordinarily made better when we have characters cast with personality out there. Last year, Jason Kelce's retirement year, his farewell season, when he was out there, dude, he was a riot just being Jason Kelce. And then everyone else out there kind of celebrating him in his farewell, it just made it fun. It's just fun. So I'm interested to see how many people are going to complain about allowing NFL guys to go out there and just goof off and have a good time versus, no, do it the way I want you to do it. But we'll get to that later on in the week. What we have to get to right now is the water cooler cheat sheet, because you are less than 50, you know, right at 54 minutes away from having to get into the office and be a professional and tighten up that tie and make sure that jacket is straight and pretend like you want to be there. What you really want to do is talk sports. And if you really want to talk sports, you got to know what's going on in the world of sports. And if you got to know what's going on in the world of sports, you need this. It is the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office this AM and start talking sports with your coworkers. Let's dive right in with our number one. Let's go with this. We won't spend a ton of time on it, but NASCAR could be making a major change to its playoff format, and it could be coming down the line as early as 2026. Yesterday, NASCAR Executive Vice President and Chief Racing Development Officer John Probst said that no changes are coming 2025, but the playoff format will be reconsidered ahead of the 2026 season. The Daytona 500 is on February 16th. Probst said, "I don't think we want to get in the habit of making small little tweaks every season to the playoffs. Where we landed was for 2025, not making any changes to the playoffs. Throughout the course of the year, we will get a working group together with some media folks, OEMs, Goodyear, drivers. We probably talk to most of the folks one-on-one about where are we at, what are we thinking. And basically, we look at that as a work stream for a group of our stakeholders this year to look at it holistically." That's a lot of words to say. We're talking about it. We're talking about it, and we're including everybody in the mist. We're talking about the drivers on the track. We're talking to the engineers that are putting these cars together. We're talking to the media who cover this event, cover our sport, and are our mouthpiece to the fans and the fans' mouthpiece back to the sport. Basically said they are looking at everybody. The current playoff format has 16 drivers qualifying for a 10-race chase broken up over four rounds. The field of playoff drivers is cut from 16 to 12, 12 to 8, from 8 to the championship four who run the last few races for points to be declared the champion. It has been the structure of the playoff since 2014, and there haven't been any significant modifications since 2017 when stage racing and playoff points were introduced, but Probst said NASCAR has heard from stakeholders who love the playoffs as is and people who hate the current format and those in the middle. He also did go on to say there's no guarantee anything will be altered, but quote, "We just didn't get to a point where we felt like we have to do it, but we hear the fans loud and clear and are currently looking at it actively," end quote. So this is interesting in that it is being talked about. It is being discussed. They are including representatives from every element of the NASCAR world. Now, they are not directly including fans in this conversation, but I also would be willing to suspect that the fans who the impression I get as a NASCAR guy is that about half the fans despise the current playoff setup. About 20% of the fans are like, whatever. And, you know, the rest of them are okay with it, are fine with it, right? I don't really know any NASCAR fans right now who have ever said anything in the realm of they feel like the current playoff structure is a good way to determine a champ. I actually do. I do. Wins are important. Wins should be rewarded. Wins should be celebrated. Winning is not easy. But we have also created a world in NASCAR where there has never been more equality from car to car, driver to driver. There just hasn't. These guys are running almost the exact same equipment. The difference being, obviously, that the smaller teams maybe don't have the R&D that the big teams do to make the tanker. They maybe don't have the same experience of crew chief that the big teams do that can make the in-race adjustments, whatever. But overall, I think the current playoff system for NASCAR is a pretty good one. It rewards long-term success, consistent performance, but also props you up if you get dubs. And getting dubs should still be the primary goal. I think a lot of fans have complained over the years because there are spots where drivers drive to keep their car in one piece, not to win races. It used to be that guys were more than happy to wreck each other out coming out of turn four because nothing was more important than the checkers. But we are kind of at a point now where you could make the argument that gathering points, collecting points race by race might be as important as getting checkered flags. And we reward that. So I don't know. I don't know. We'll see if anything ends up changing down the pipe, but that is at least on the radar. Let's get to item number two. For those of you like me that are beginning to pick up your collegiate basketball discussions, this is a big one. Caleb Love hit a game-tying heave from beyond half court at the end of regulation, which brought Arizona to a tied ball game with number three Iowa State last night. A more than half court three-pointer with time expired found the bottom of the strings, and the Sun Devils were able to take the two-loss number three Cyclones to overtime, and they got him. Caleb Love started 1-for-10 from behind the arc in this game. He hit a longer than half court heave to send it into overtime. He then ended up with two more three-pointers in overtime, finished with 22 points in an 86-75 win over number three Iowa State. It looked like the Cyclones were just going to do it again. Josh Jefferson hit one of two free throws with 2.2 seconds remaining to give them a three-point lead, and it felt like it was over, but off the inbound, Love took two dribbles, hit a banker from 70 feet out behind the midcourt logo. The place erupted. The momentum was at that point all in favor of Arizona. They would end up going into OT and getting the win, outscoring Iowa State 15-4 in the extra time period. 22 points from Caleb Love, 17 from Tobias Waka. This Arizona team at 14-6 is kind of one of those teams that I'm turning an eye to. Not in that I think they're like a national championship contender, but I do think they are one of those quiet, good teams. I think they're one of those sneaky teams that could have a real say in who the one seeds are. They are a team that is absolutely, when we get to bracket filling time, a team that I would be interested in their potential to come up with a big time upset. This team's interesting, and on top of that, Iowa State, who came into the day ranked number three, is now going to take a bit of a tumble as a four-loss team. So we'll keep an eye on that, but that's the biggest result in men's college basketball. For the biggest result in women's college basketball, we go to item number three. 70-63, the South Carolina Gamecocks knock off the number 18-ranked Tennessee Lady Volunteers. Yesterday, a trio of starters, Chloe Kitts, Raven Johnson, and Tahina Pau-Pau, all had 10 points. Joyce Edwards knocked down 18 off the bench. Malaysia Fawiley had 11 off the bench for the Gamecocks last night. They shot 46% from the floor, 6 of 21 from range. The problem was in this game, and this is something I'm keeping an eye on, 17 turnovers in this contest, and we knew this was going to be a problem for Don's girls coming into this year. They lost the majority of their rebounding prowess last offseason. We knew that rebounding was likely to create issues for the Gamecocks this year. They got out-rebounded last night, 49-40. They also turned it over 17 times and took it back 13, minus 4 in the turnover department. So how did they end up winning this game in which they allowed Tennessee to put up 24 in the fourth quarter to their 13? The answer was on defense. They shot 46% from the floor. Pretty good night. They held Tennessee on their own court to 30.7%, 23 of 75, and just 3 of 26 from behind the arc. That is less than 12%. If you are going to struggle getting boards, and we knew that this Lady Gamecock team under Dawn Staley this year, not because they're not good, but just because of the fact that their rebounding prowess all went to the W last year, you're going to have to play excellent defense. And last night, Dawn Staley's gal slapped the court, got down and dirty, played a little D, and got the dub on the road over a number 18 Tennessee team because of it. We're going to talk a lot more college basketball as the show rolls on. But when we come back, after this season, after this game between the Chiefs and the Bills, I'm going to ask once again, will you join me in my crusade to have the National Football League and every other professional sports league in America officiated by technology? Are we now, if most of you believe, not as many as last week, but most of you still do believe that there are issues with officiating across the league? Even Lonzo said it's bad across every game. If that is the case, can I interest you one more time in the Robo-Umps? Let's address that when we come back. I am Rob Brown, the great one Lonzo on the ones and twos. The Rob Brown Show picks up after this right here on the Fan Upstate.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
You know, there are some things I say over and over on the air, and I know that. I know that. But, you know, it's 2025. It's all about the brand, baby. Everything is the brand. Got to let the people know who you are, what you are, why you are what you are, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. One of the things that I am, depending on who you ask, is someone who is constantly constantly going out on a limb, and I was going to say with unpopular takes, not hot takes, unpopular takes. I have been, for pretty much as long as I can remember, Team Robo-Ump. Have been. Team Robo-Ref, Robo-Ump, Robo-Judge, Robo-whatever you want. And I have made the case for a very long time that the reason that I am Team Robo-Ump, Team Robo-Ref, Team Robo-Judge, whatever, is because everything in sports is subjective. And there are some things that should not be, okay? The strike zone is not subjective. It is an objective, measurable thing. And therefore, it should not be something that changes not game to game. It should not be something that changes inning to inning or pitch to pitch or anything else based on a human being behind the dish. It is either a ball or it is a strike. It is either safe or it is out. There is no subjectivity there. There are things that no matter how much I wish that there was an objective way to measure them, there are some things that are just going to inherently be subjective. I could make the argument that holding calls are a subjective measurement. It is hard to define clearly what is a hold and what is not.
Yeah, I wish someone would tell me what that is, because I don't, you know, I know what I think holding is.
Sure.
But apparently that's not what holding is.
That is the definition of subjectivity.
So when they show a camera angle of a quarterback in the backfield and the tackle is like hand completely stretched out with a handful of jersey on a defender, sometimes that's not a hold. Apparently.
Yeah. And then there's referees that, you know, I've heard forever. Well, you know, it's out of the play. It doesn't impact the play. I'm like, who are you to decide that, right? We've seen defensive ends chase down running backs from the backside pursuit angle. If that backside defensive end is getting held at the line of scrimmage when the running back turns the corner, he may not be able to get on his pursuit angle and chase him down. Who are you to determine whether or not a hold impacts the play or not, right? But I don't know what to do about that. What I argue is that we should be using technology for our betterment when it comes to the objective calls of the game. And I think, once again, we have another example of why it is that that could be the case. There has been one lingering controversy above all the rest about the AFC Championship game. And that lingering controversy is, did Josh Allen get a first down or not? If Josh Allen gets that fourth down, maybe we have a different ball game on our hands. Nope, we definitely have a different ball game on our hands. Doesn't mean they would have done anything. Doesn't mean they would have been able to score. Doesn't mean they would have been able to hold a lead. Doesn't mean that the Bills still wouldn't have lost. But, as I have said forever and always, regardless of the conditions, if a team does something to win, even if they play 98% of the game like crap, if they play 2% of the game really well, and that 2% of the game is good enough to get them a win, then they deserve to win, not to say, oh, well, you know, yeah, the calls were bad, but like they still didn't play good enough to win. Maybe they did. Maybe they did. Maybe good enough to win doesn't mean they had to go out there and be elite. They just had to be good enough, and maybe they were. Whatever. One of the things that is, by definition, objectively true on a football field is the spot of the ball when a player is down. Okay? That's just an objective reality. When a player is down, when their knee or their elbow or their head or their ass hits the grass, the ball is in a three-dimensional space on the football field that can be dropped straight down to the grass, and that's where that ball is supposed to be down. Why, when we live in a world where I can go outside, and some of you may hate this, whatever, I have come to the reality, the realization, that as much as I hate it, as much as I don't want it to be the case, you can't live in 2025 without being impacted by technology and having your information out there somewhere. It sucks. It sucks, but it is impossible to do it unless you are going to go live up on top of a mountain, Grizzly Adams style, grow and hunt your own food. You cannot be off the grid in 2025. And therefore, within a reasonable extent, I think, I've embraced it. If I am going to be on the grid as much as I maybe don't want to be, if I'm going to be on the grid, I might as well use the grid for the grid's benefits when I can. I can go outside and I can take this phone and I can open up my little maps app and I can turn on my GPS and the satellites that are flying around the world at hundreds of thousands of miles an hour are able to tell my phone within a foot or so where I am on planet Earth, irrelevant of where I am on planet Earth. They can do that. Why are we not? I'm not asking you to even replace refs for pass interference calls or roughing the passer calls or holding calls or any of that. Why is it when there are lesser leagues like the UFL that is working on this, trying it out and finding success? Why in a multi-billion dollar league have we not come up with a way to implement tech to, if nothing else, spot the football, right? And I can go one step further, not even necessarily about the Josh Allen play, although that obviously is the most high-profile play this weekend. Wouldn't it be good when the Eagles run the tush push, right? I've talked about this 100 times. The success of the tush push is because Jalen Hurts tucks his little body up under the butt of the center, and then he gets hit in the back by two running backs, one high, one low, and he disappears into a scrum full of people. And he's gone. He's gone. Look at every camber angle of a tush push. Jalen Hurts gets the snap, tucks forward, and then he disappears into a pile. And effectively, the referees just kind of have to guess where the ball was when he was ultimately ruled down. By forward contact, by touching the ground, whatever. They just kind of got to guess. And my question was, remains, if we had a little RFI chip in the nose of the football and in the tail of the football, a little chip implemented into the big skin on both the front and the back that was synced up to 6K cameras, of which, by the way, we already know, per the NFL, there are 6K cameras pointed at the line of scrimmage every time an NFL football is snapped. If we can put a little RFI chip in the front end and the back end of the football and then sync those chips up to high-speed slow-mo cameras to the point that we can, more often than not, push a button the instant we know, because we can see it, that a player is down, or the instant that a whistle blows, right? Because there's forward progress. That's subjective. That's up to the officials. We can exactly signify. We can probably hook it up to the sound of the whistle themselves so that the second the referee blows a whistle to indicate that forward contact, that forward progress has been halted and the player is down, or when we hook it up to that camera, a guy in front of an 800-inch television in New York City can push a red button that says his knee is down now. And that RFI chip just puts a little diagram onto an Apple Watch, an iWatch on a ref that says, here's the spot where that ball goes. And now we don't have to ask questions anymore. How is it when this is already being implemented in lower-level leagues, when we know we have, if nothing else, the technology? I pointed out to Lonzo last week, he didn't believe me. We have cameras that film at a million frames per second. You can slow a video down so much that you can watch a bullet leave a gun and see its rotation as it does. We have slowed it down so much that we can film that same bullet hitting an apple and you can watch it enter, dissect, and leave the apple. in a way that it's unbelievable. It looks like CGI, right? And we have these cameras, and these cameras are available. We have RFID chips that can tell you precisely where a thing is. How many of y'all are using Apple iTags right now? Sincerely. I know a lot of y'all are. Apple iTags are great. Okay. We use them in our crib.
I don't know what that is.
It is a little piece of plastic about yay big around. All right, a little bigger than a quarter. All right, it's flat. It's about that big around, and you can attach it. It's like sticky. You can attach it to something. And basically, it's a baby GPS chip that hooks up to your phone. So if you stick it on something and you can't find that thing, you ping it, and some of them can play noises, right? I know a guy.
So this is a find your remote button?
Effectively. Okay. But it's a little piece of plastic, and you say, a lot of people stick them on their cars now, right? So if your car gets jacked, you can go see it. You can tell the cops. It's here. This is where it is. This is where that tag is. I got a friend back home that put an Apple tag on his keys, loses his keys all the time. Put it on his keys. And when he can't find his keys, he opens up his phone and he goes, where's my keys? And the phone goes, not just they're in this house, but down to like a few inches of wherever they are in the house.
You know, it's a real shame is they don't make them small enough to put on your pin.
That's the thing. They do. It's just a baby little chip. It's a tiny little microchip that runs all this, which means put one in the front of the football, put one in the back of the football, and whenever the whistle blows or the dude in New York pushes the red button that says, this is where the play ended, those two RFID chips can send a signal to a computer that says, I was located exactly here, and the other chip says, I was located exactly here, and we can see exactly on the football field where that football was when the play was ended, and now we don't have any more. Josh Allen got a first down. No, he didn't. Yes, he did. No, he didn't. Yes, he did. Well, I saw this angle. I saw this angle. I saw this slow motion. I saw this. I saw that. I saw this. I saw. We don't have these fights anymore. It's no longer splitting the NFL fan base in half. We can go, no, the ball was here. Here's the data. Here's the computer chip that says so. Let's go. It's not hard. It's already being used. What are we doing? Oh, I got to get my clip. What are we doing? Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. The Hot Rod Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob, the great one, Lonzo, and you be a part of the radio program this and every day. Jump aboard 844-326-3663. 844-FANFONE.
Trying to figure out what rod sounds to get and who would be the best rod that's closer to Rod Brown.
I mean, the list of rods. Who's we got? Obviously, you got the easy ones. You got Rod Stewart. You got who else? Rod Manuel.
I'm gonna go with this one, Adam.
You got Roderick Strong. That's a good one. What other rods?
Roddy Piper.
Hot Rod. That's the one right there. That's the one. We just pull a bunch of rowdy.
Yeah, I knew that would be the one that you want to be. But I don't know. I don't know if you match his temperament.
Of course I do. I'm obviously and definitely and not pretending to be Irish. So
I don't know if it's obvious.
Scottish, whatever. I'm in. Corn Chip texted the show. He said that when your boy loses his phone, he's screwed. My wife does the same thing and then has to resort to me calling her so she can find her phone to then find her keys with her phone, with her AirTag. Yeah, I mean, listen, at the end of the day, if you're scatterbrained, you're scatterbrained. That's just kind of how it goes.
You don't need an AirTag for your car. My phone right now will tell me my car is in the parking lot. I'm sure yours will do the same thing.
It will. Obviously, that's a relatively new advancement in not getting your car permanently stolen technology. But
in my case, who's going to steal a smart car?
The AirTags are nice for everything else, though. I mean, think about it. You go on. We go on remote. We get tasked with hanging on to thousands. Okay, when other people go on remotes, they get tasked with hanging on to thousands of dollars worth of equipment. It wouldn't it be nice if you set up somewhere and you came back and your Comrex had walked off, that you got a little tag stuck to the bottom of it that tell you exactly where the hell it is.
I just don't believe that the what you want to happen will happen anytime soon.
No, I agree with you. That's not what I was saying. What I was saying is, why the hell not? Why not? Why is this not something you... When the NFL... Okay, let me put it this way. The NFL right now is basically at a spot where a large percentage of its fans... I'm not going to say a majority, because I don't think it is a majority. But a large enough percentage that major media members who have historically been very hesitant to criticize the National Football League are loudly doing just that. I'm not saying that this is the end-all be-all, but go right now on any given social media post of the NFL's and count how many times you read the word rigged. If the primary objective of the Shield, and I think it is, if the primary objective is of the Shield is to protect the Shield, right? This is why for years when players and coaches have outwardly criticized officials, they get hit with tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars in fines. Because even if they have a point, what the NFL has never wanted to allow to happen is for the image of the competitiveness of the game to be questioned, the integrity of the game to be questioned. And as far as I can tell, in my short 18 years worth of broadcasting, whether it is founded or not, the NFL's integrity has never been questioned like it is right now. Again, even if every call in the entire season has been correct, which we all know it hasn't, and I'm not talking about one team, I'm not talking about that team, I'm talking about in general. When we know not every call has been anywhere close to correct, and we all agree with that, is that I don't think there's anybody right now, anywhere, at least that not that I've heard or talked to or run across, that says, no, NFL officiating is great. Maybe Mike Pereira thinks everything's special, super awesome, great. But nobody who watches and partakes in the product right now thinks that officiating is anywhere close to great. So when you have, for the first time, in my opinion, the NFL's integrity being questioned so much that even big name talking heads who are on television networks that have billion-dollar contracts with the NFL feel like they are not just justified in, but mandated to address it. And not just address it, although some are, not just address it, but address it from actually a critical perspective, right? In years gone by, I have been comfortable in saying...
So you want Stephen A. and Mad Dog and all those guys to run the league?
No. What I'm saying is...
Well, if their voice is so important, then basically they're running the league, and that's what you want. I don't want that.
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, when ESPN, who has a contract with the NFL for $1 billion or whatever it is, and historically... in my opinion, has basically carried the water of the league. Everything's great. Everything's awesome. Nothing's wrong. Everything's perfect. Even when things clearly aren't. Everything's amazing because they were protecting their billion-dollar investment with the NFL. When they are turning their guys loose to go out there and criticize the product because they know right now, I'll tell you, here's what I think it comes down to. The NFL knows right now, if they were to issue a memorandum to ESPN and say, hey, y'all better shut Mad Dog up. Y'all better take Stephen A. off the air. What's the response from fans going to be? They're trying to silence the criticism. That just means we're right. When they start to try to silence the messenger instead of address the message, you know you're on to something. And so the fact that these guys feel so justified in saying the things that they're saying tells me that the public perception of the league, even if it's wrong, is at an all-time low. And I will acknowledge, even as somebody who enjoys sports gambling, who makes a solid chunk of his money by talking about it, by doing it, by embracing it, yada, 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 I'm biased. Accuse me of it. You're right. At a point in time where, I don't know if you saw this, though, there was a spot that I found abso-freaking-lutely hilarious during the Chiefs-Bills game. There was a call that was being discussed, and I do not remember which one, and I wish I did. There was a call that was being discussed by Romo and what's his face? How am I just forgetting? Jim Nance. There was a call being discussed, and they showed a field-level view, and up on the big oval jumbotron at Arrowhead was a big-ass BetMGM advertisement. That's a company I technically work for. BetMGM, title sponsor of BetQL. BetQL pays me. My money comes from BetMGM. Hilarious that in the moment of a controversial call on the field, there is a BetMGM ad up over the top. The integrity of the league is being questioned. I do not believe the league is rigged. I don't believe that it is capable, that the league is capable of being rigged. But when you are having your integrity called to the carpet the way the NFL is, and part of the reason why is the addition of gambling books as major primary title sponsors, and all this is happening, it can and should be addressed. And the point that I'm making is this tech that we are talking about is not new. I would be willing to say certainly the majority, maybe even most of us, use it on a regular basis. Maybe not daily, but on a regular basis. And even if you don't use it, all of the goods and or services and or products in your life, the companies that manufacture and provide those goods and services and products, they do use it. Truck drivers driving down the road 100% utilize GPS to see if there's a traffic stack up ahead of them that they can avoid, or to make sure that Smokey's not out trying to knock down their BWERUN or whatever. These things are everywhere all the time. It's part of your life every day. And so when this tech that can pinpoint the location of your car from outer bleeping space down to a foot has a scaled-down technology that can pinpoint the precise location of anything you want down to within inches of your home, do we not think that if you scaled it down a little bit more to put a couple of chips into the football, that everyone at home, at any given moment, you ever watch a lot of the football shows now? The Manning cast, they do this, right? The Manning cast, because for the record, the teams put these players, put these chips in the players' gear, right? You've seen how a lot of the football and soccer players and whatever they're wearing, like they look like sports bras now. You know what those are? Those are these chips. They put one in the front and the back of the player on that little sports bra looking piece of clothing that they run around with under their jersey, and it tracks everything. It tracks their speed at any given moment. It tracks the amount of distance that they have covered in a game.
I'm guessing they don't call it a sports bra.
I'm sure they don't. I'm sure there's a name for it. But that's what it is. That's what it is. It tracks every day. It tracks
it's a bandolier.
Whatever you want to call it. It tracks their foot speed at any given moment. It tracks the number of feet and inches they have run. It tracks their heart rate. It tracks their pulse. It tracks everything. We've been using this tech for the players for years now. For years now. I'm not trying to like bring up an old thing, but during the COVID season, and we've heard stories. I think it was AJ McCarron told the story not too long ago. During COVID, when the NFL was trying to make sure the season happened, They were putting wristbands on players anytime that they would enter the facility. And these wristbands would track their proximity to every other wristband in the facility so that if somebody got popped with a positive COVID test, they could go check that wristband and they could see every single person, not on the team, in the entire damn facility that that person had close contact with so they could go run an immediate COVID test on them. And if one of those popped positive, they could test everybody else, right? This tech is not new. It is literally minimum half a decade old. And yet, here we are in a spot where on the biggest play of the biggest game of the year to date, we are having a conversation about whether a player got a first down. We could know this definitively. We could know this. The texture just said NASCAR has chips in cars. Yes, they do. That tell you every bit of information about that car. And that chip can be combined with a high-speed camera pointed at the start-finish line that is capable of so much detail that it can track four cars crossing a plane at 185 miles per hour to determine which car won by a millimeter. But we can't just stick that in a football so we can know where the hell the ball is. The single most frustrating thing in football is where the ball is spotted. Because it is, we are told constantly about how the game is so fast and refs can't do this and they can't do that. I am giving you a way without taking a single bit of power away from the referee. This does not take any power away over their influence of the game. Put a chip in the front of the ball, put a chip in the back of the ball, monitor it with a super scanner from the roof, put 4K million frame a second, and you can reset the film on them every single time the ball is snapped, delete the old film.
All these things you want to happen, what they do is they point out that the referees can't do their job, and in turn, the NFL doesn't know what it's doing. So by doing these things, they're stating that you're right, that the NFL doesn't know what it's doing, and they hired bad referees, and they don't know what they're doing. They're not going to do that. They're not. And I still stick to it. I can't guarantee you, but it wouldn't shock me if the in-booth analysts disappear, because all this year, all they've done is disagree with the calls on the field, which makes the guys out there making the calls on the field look bad. You get rid of the in-booth analysts or wherever those analysts may be. That eliminates a little of that.
Well, let's start with this.
It's a bad look for the NFL. It's a bad look for the league. I know you say, and I agree to a degree, it's a bad look because they're getting the calls wrong, but they're not going to admit, hey, we're not good at this. They're not going to do that.
Well, let's start with this. And I know we got to run to a break, so I'll address it very clearly. Let's start with this. What you just suggested is getting rid of color commenters. Or
the guys in the booth that do.
Oh, the rules
officials?
Let's go
to our rules expert. Yes.
Here's the second thing, and this is what I kind of hinted at this a minute ago. The second part is because this has been going on for so long and is such a major conversation at this point, if next year they go, by the way, we don't have a rules analyst in the booth anymore, what happens? The same public perception right now that the NFL has a problem. Let's not use the words rigged or anything. Has a problem. Those same people are going to come out and go, well, if everything's on the up and up, why'd you get rid of the guys that explain the rules? That makes it look, the problem is the NFL is so dug deep in with this problem now that anything that they do that addresses the addressing of the problem but doesn't address the problem makes them look guiltier, makes it look worse.
What if they take the guys out of the booth and say they're using it for research in the technology to the things that you want to happen, but the research never gets done?
You'd have
to take those guys out of the booth because they're going to use that money that they pay those guys to put towards
the
technology.
Remember, those guys are TV provided. Those aren't provided by the NFL. Those guys are, yeah, they're former NFL officials or whatever, but the TV guys pay for those guys to come in and be the rules experts
okay,
in that
same,
spot.
Same situation. they pay for those games, and if someone they're paying for makes the product look bad, therefore people stop watching, then you get rid of the people that are making the product look bad.
That would be up to, again, those guys being gotten rid of or not gotten rid of, that is 100% up to the television network. But if the NFL ever stepped in and said, we want you in order to get your contract renewed, to get rid of rules officials, again, the same people who are already crying foul are going to be screaming it from the rafters, and now the integrated leagues will look worse than it is today. We'll talk more about this coming up later in the show. The point is, use the tech, NFL. Be better. Sports Flash.
Never going to happen. The South Carolina women's basketball team knocked off number 18 Tennessee last night, 70-63. Chloe Kitts, Raven Johnson, and Tiana Pau-Pau all had 10 points in starting roles, while the Gamecocks were led by Joyce Edwards, 18 off the bench. The Gamecocks are now 20-1, but remain number two on the polls behind undefeated UCLA, who handed the Gamecocks their only loss. Former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback and potential number one overall pick Shedeur Sanders announced yesterday he's unsure if he'll throw at the NFL Combine next month. Sanders met with Tennessee, Cleveland, and the New York Giants at the East-West Shrine Game yesterday and said after he'd be thankful for any team that drafts him and that he expects to change any franchise that does. Tune in tomorrow at 5:30 as Furman Paladins take on the Samford Bulldogs. It's Furman versus Samford right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. The Fan, Upstate.